all today.
Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. At the top of the show, we always go inside the Beltway with the true insiders from Talk Radio News. Victoria Jones joins us. It's always fun to have her on the show. Victoria, the big story today, at least from the on the Republican side, and really from the Democrats, too, because they're watching to see what's going to happen in this presidential race. Rick Santorum doesn't wait for the Pennsylvania primary. He bails. What's up? Do you think he realized the handwriting was way on the wall?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I heard from somebody in Pennsylvania just this evening that what they're talking about in Pennsylvania is that he would very likely have gone down to an even more screaming loss than he experienced in 2006.
And so he realized, all right, I already did the senator thing. I'm not going to do this again at the Keystone State. I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah, and that he knew that, and that, you know, he wanted to keep some viability within the Republican Party. He needs to have a future as some kind of a leader in the conservative movement, and he wants to be able to run again in 2016.
Yeah, there you go. Obama, speaking of running, is in Florida during the day, and he was really hyping the Buffett rule. You're not surprised by this, right?
No, they're doing this the entire week. They've got the different members of Congress who are on their break talking about it, and they're really ratcheting up the rhetoric on that all this week. So today was Obama's big day in Florida. He gave a big speech at the university down there, making the case for the Buffett rule, saying to the students, you know, these investments in things like education and research and healthcare haven't been made as part of some scheme to redistribute wealth from one group to another, saying that instead, you know, this is about fairness. This is their big argument is that this is about fairness. They're trying to point out that, yes, we know this is not going to fix the budget deficit. We know that this is, you know, a certain number of billion this is going to save. It's not going to fix $6 trillion, $4 trillion, however much it is. It's not going to do that. But this is about fairness. This is about, and then the Obama campaign puts out a memo this afternoon, this is about people like Mitt Romney, who only paid 13.9% in tax. And then you've got Vice President Biden going to New Hampshire on Thursday. He'll be doing the same thing in his inimitable style. And then, of course, on Monday, this is what it's all leading up to. It's the big vote in the Senate, where the Democrats hope to put Republicans on the record for voting for or against higher or lower taxes for millionaires and billionaires.
Yeah, so finally we're going to have some action, movement in the bullpen. We'll see what happens when they do that. Thursday is as you said, D-Day. So we'll move from there to overseas in Syria. John McCain, Senator McCain, and Senator Lieberman decide that they're going to go to Syria and visit the refugee camps. What's going on with Syria and what the United States is going to do? What do you hear as far as the chitter-chatter on that?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of worry, and I think, you know, people understand that John McCain and Joe Lieberman are very concerned and are very sympathetic to the issue of these refugees, and that's all very well. But on the other hand, what McCain and Lieberman then turn around and say is that, well, we need to arm the rebels, and that's certainly not what you hear from the senior members of the intelligence committees. Who are saying, no, we shouldn't, and these are Republicans and Democrats who are saying, no, we shouldn't arm the rebels because we don't know who they are and we don't know where their money's going.
Yeah.
So they're saying,
yeah, exactly.
No, we shouldn't be arming the rebels.
Yeah. Yeah, so true. We talk about that all the time on America Tonight. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, folks, as you know. 855-266-KATE. How do you like that, Victoria? I have a new phone number. My number's in the, and my name's in the phone number.
I love it.
Yep, I hope that I can remember it. That's the key thing, remembering those numbers. Always fun to talk to you, Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, a little fun with the phone numbers there, but it is true. Our numbers have changed. Pretty easy to memorize, 855, as I just said to Victoria, 266-5283. Big buzz, Santorum bailing. Just because it was before Pennsylvania, and I think Victoria gave us the good reasons why Santorum decided to get out to save face and to save his reputation in Pennsylvania. Really, his political balance is ultimately what he's going to be able to cash in on. And she's right. It's about representing the conservative movement. So Santorum, who just the other day was resuming his campaign, promptly turned around and decided, adios, I'm done with the campaign. Here's what it sounded like earlier in the day. Maybe not. Rick Santorum went silent. He killed our computers. But we'll let you hear what he said. You know, basically, Santorum's take was that this had run its course. I think he tried to be genuine about what he learned on the campaign trail. And I think that he wanted to carefully step around the whole Romney thing, because if you remember, the two of them were battling heads big time. They were going at it, you know, for the last couple of months. So in this case, the idea was for Santorum to slip away as easily as he could with the least political damage, is I guess the best way to put that. And Santorum says, you know, hey, this is it, you know, I want to thank everybody for the great job that they did for me, which is typical, the political spin for all the people that were behind the scenes. Are you surprised that he decided not to go all the way to Pennsylvania? I think the polls were the true telling thing, that, you know, that a lot of prayer, a lot of thought is what he said. He knew that the polls were not in his favor, and he couldn't afford another big loss in Pennsylvania, ultimately. So does he end up in any way, shape, or form hitting the campaign trail even for Mitt Romney? It's not unheard of to have somebody who's lost go out, take off the gloves, turn things around, and be asked to stump for the person that they were smashing on the head. And I wouldn't be surprised by that, because Santorum absolutely has an audience. He absolutely has a lot of Tea Party people that like him. He walks the conservative walk, and he's got the whole family man thing. He's very genuine in that respect. And there were a lot of people that liked Rick Santorum for what he stood for. So the race is over for him, but it might not be over as far as trying to help out Mitt Romney. So he decides he's suspending it and basically cedes everything to Romney. Now the question is, you still have Newt Gingrich in the mix, and I think he just is like the Energizer Bunny. He goes until he falls on the sword of money, when finally there's nobody backing him for anything he's done. But effectively, it's game on. It's Obama and Romney now at this point. Without a doubt, all the focus is going to be on Barack Obama. And Obama spent the day, as you heard there, in Florida, raising $1.75 million. He's just adding to the war chest. Remember, the goal was to get $1 billion. All right, Rick Santorum in the wings. We're going to let you hear what he had to say. Plus, George Zimmerman, who is certainly being battled in the court of public opinion. His attorneys decide that they're going to deep stick their defense of the guy who shot Trayvon Martin. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Do you know which 37 crucial food items are going to fly off the shelves when the next disaster hits? If you don't, you and your family may be without food and waiting in long food lines after a big disaster strikes. You would be surprised how many people don't have these food items right now. 123survivalplan.com has set up a For Patriots Only video with inside information on the 37 food items that will sell out first when the next disaster strikes. The video on 123survivalplan.com has crucial information you and your family need to prepare for any disaster, natural or man-made. And you won't have to be afraid of going hungry or being sent to a FEMA refugee camp. See the video that over 1 million other smart patriots have already seen in the last 4 months. Prepared now. Go to 123survivalplan.com and learn which 37 food items you should hoard. Easy to remember. 123survivalplan.com. Again, that's 123survivalplan.com.
At a time when over and over again we were told, forget it, you can't win, we were winning. We were winning in a very different way. We are going to continue to fight for those voices. We're going to continue to fight for the Americans who stood up and gave us that air under our wings that allowed us to accomplish things that no political expert would have ever expected. While this presidential race for us is over, for me, and we will suspend our campaign effective today, we are not done fighting. There's a lot of greatness in this country. And we just need leaders who believe in that, who are willing to give voice to that, who are willing to raise us up instead of trying to provide for us and do for us what we can better do for ourselves. She is a fighter, and she is doing exceptionally well and is back with us and the family, and we are looking forward to spending a lot of great time with her.
Campaign's down. Adios, goodbye. Rick Santorum talking about his three-year-old Bella at the end there and the fact that she's been in and out of the hospital. Now it's a question. Santorum's out of the race. He'll have a role with the conservative movement, certainly, but will he help Romney, as I was blathering on at the top, will he help Romney in his quest to really hook into that group that's not buying what he's selling? And some of the big-time leading conservative core members, or I'll call them, because there's different groups, are really praising Santorum for what he did and how well he did, but they're not talking about Mitt Romney. They're not saying, okay, so we're going to switch gears here, we're going to start to wear the Romney T-shirts, and that might be big-time trouble for Mitt Romney, because he has got to consolidate the Republican base by reaching out to the social conservative voters. Let's face it, let's be honest. And this guy's moderate. He's a moderate Republican. And many of you listening to me would call the show and say, well, that's a good thing, because then can he get some of those other voters? Where do you think the independents are going to go for the most part? And that would be Democratic. unless gas prices are $7, then all bets are off. I almost had a heart attack the other day when I pulled up $4 solid. $4 solid just in a day switch where it had been like $3.85, then it went to $4. I know. I got the gas blues like many of you. So Rick Santorum now just having some time to hang out with his family, his little daughter, and think about what his next move will be. He, too, could end up being somebody that gets snapped up by Fox or somebody else, maybe during the convention, to talk about what he sees, what he thinks is going to happen. Certainly, he now becomes more available to the media in the sense that he'll be able to discuss issues in a different way from the conservative point of view, which he already was doing. But, I mean, he won't have so much on the line because he's not running for president. So he can talk about the things that Romney needs to do. He'll be a guest. He'll pop up as a guest. He may end up even being somebody who gets hired on to do some work for one of the networks. That wouldn't be shocking to me either. So the big deal is now the Democrats are going after Romney as they knew they were going to do. They were already loading the guns a long time ago, thanks to Newt Gingrich pointing out some of the financial holes with Romney. The Democrats are looking into Romney's financial documents to see if they can trip him up somewhere there. Trust me, there's going to be some negative campaigning going on. Newt Gingrich still hanging around behind the scenes. I mentioned that. And then this story comes out today that he might not be on the ballot for the June 26th Utah primary. And you say, why? Why won't he be on the primary there? Well, you'd think it'd be a shoo-in for Romney anyway. Well, the reason why is he had a $500 check. The filing fee bounced. So if Romney's campaign is bouncing $500 checks just to be in a primary, I'd say it's about time that he officially said adios as well. He's had a ton of debt hanging around, almost $4.5 billion. And according to the Federal Election Commission report that came out a couple of months ago, it showed that there was some of that debt still on there, at least $2 million, somewhere in the neighborhood of $2 million or so. Because remember, the debt increased when his campaign exploded after South Carolina. So they spent a ton in Florida to try to go after Romney, and Romney spent $20 million. You're not going to outspend Mitt Romney. The only person who could do that is the Democrats, because they knew Romney was going to be the guy, and they trotted out Obama to the $35,000 a plate dinners and are trying to amass $1 billion. That's no joke. They're going to have a ton of money, plenty of money, and they're not worried about it. So now the campaign turns toward Romney versus Obama, and they're looking at Romney's financials to look at his investments so that they're able to pull some things from that and really push him and represent him as the 1%. Romney, according to some of the stuff that's been released, took advantage of a loophole, a tax loophole, for 48 accounts at Bain Capital, his company, and, you know, which was his private equity firm. So they're going to dig deep and see if they can expose anything else more specific about some of those investments. I mean, it's your fair game. This is what happens when you decide you're going to run. So not that they're not prepared for this. Hopefully. Romney says he's going to win in November. Obama and the polls say Obama is a little bit ahead at this point. Another big story today. So we'll talk more this hour about Rick Santorum parachuting out. What does that mean for Romney? How does Romney get conservatives to embrace him? You know, I was thinking about this today. If you had a choice and you could have dinner with either Mitt Romney or Ann Romney, which one would you choose? I think a lot of people might choose Ann Romney. Can a potential first lady help her husband get elected? Is there some magic with the wife and the fact that she clearly can joke around, can handle herself in crowds, and is a good asset to Mitt Romney? Will they play her up a little bit a little bit more. All right, the other big thing, and I mentioned this at the top, is lawyers announcing that they're dropping George Zimmerman. And does this mean there's some thought that the special prosecutor might move up her decision on whether to arrest Zimmerman or not for some reason? Because, okay, the defense team has bailed. They've bailed because they say they're not getting any return phone calls from George Zimmerman. And George Zimmerman has kind of gone rogue and decided to talk to people against their advice because they're trying to keep a cap on everything with the investigations going on. And upon further review, they decided, I think we're going to have to leave this gig. In fact, here's one of those lawyers now talking about not representing him any longer.
I don't have contact, and I can't ethically go forward and say that I'm representing George Zimmerman when I haven't talked to him in a couple of days, and he's giving interviews, apparently. I mean, that's just the rumors I'm getting, and setting up websites that I don't know. There are a lot of things going on that I don't know about. They're withdrawing his counsel for Mr. Zimmerman. We've lost contact with him up to this point. We've had contact every day. He's gone on his own. I'm not sure what he's doing or who he's talking to.
All right, Craig Sonner was his name, and Hal Ehrig is the other attorney. There was two that were representing him, and you heard what they said, that they can't do it because he's not answering back, and they're concerned about who he's talking to. And, you know, this goes all the way back to, we know the story by now, it goes all the way back to February 26th and what happened in Sanford, Florida, the website that comes out. At this point, you know, Zimmerman wasn't charged because there wasn't any grounds at the outset, is what initially the police said. So they've got to disprove his account that he acted to protect himself. And even though there's been hundreds, I shouldn't say hundreds, there's been thousands of people in a couple of protests, and there's been a big-time awareness of what happened in Florida and all the aspects of it, we've talked about it tons on America Tonight. Will this play into what the prosecutor, the special prosecutor, decides? And I don't think so. I think the real issue, and it shouldn't be, the real issue is, will she move along with an arrest? Can she clearly reasonably be sure that she's got the evidence to link him to what ultimately would be even a manslaughter charge? And that's ultimately the big question she has to answer. So the two lawyers just decide, too, that they do make George Zimmerman look nutty by leaving the way they did and holding a press conference and saying, oh, he says he's going to talk to media. They hold a big press conference, and they make it look like he's off the chain. We can't find him. Who knows where he is? He doesn't answer any of our calls. Stephen Chouhat in the wings. We're going to talk about the Three Stooges next.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's UTOPIA Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget,
crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
BePrepared.com is making deals in April because you need to be prepared now and you need to save. BePrepared.com is the official site of Emergency Essentials, a 24-year leader in emergency preparedness supplies. Everything from long-term food storage to emergency kits, water storage and filtration to alternative light and heat sources. What's on sale? Now through April 30th, save 28% on a freeze-dried garden vegetable combo, which includes peas, corn, beans, cauliflower, celery, and onions. Save 33% on the Katadyn Hiker Micro Filter. New instant white rice as low as $8.49 and a 72-hour MRE food and water supply, a $72 value for only $49.99 and much more at BePrepared.com. Call 800-999-1863 to experience exceptional customer service and our low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. Hurry, the BePrepared.com April sale ends April 30th. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com and now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Anticipated in a lot of households, the Three Stooges. Yep, I know my nephew wants to go and see it, and my brother, who watched it when he was a kid, because the Three Stooges were on forever and ever and ever, he wants to go see it. So maybe the Three Stooges actually can span a few generations, and there's a lot of buzz over this movie, but how will it do? Who knows? And who better to talk to about the history of the Three Stooges than Stephen Shohet, the author of Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, Kate. How you doing?
Good. Were you a fan of the Three Stooges at all?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I got a bunch of stories about them in my book. But, yeah, they always made me laugh. They made over 200 short films. So some of them are funnier than others. And the ones with Curly make me laugh the most and probably make most people laugh the most because they're really Six Stooges. So they went through changes with their act all the time. But in the earlier times, in the 30s and the 40s, those are my favorite. Of course, I wasn't around for them, but you got to see a lot of them on reruns.
Yeah. Who do you think was the most popular Stooge?
Oh, it was Curly all the way. I mean, a lot of people like Shemp, but Curly just did things that nobody else did. Part of it was he was an ad libber because he constantly would forget his lines. In fact, In fact, it was quite the opposite with Mo and Curly. Mo just studied things to the letter and had everything down, and Curly would just forget. But, I mean, that was okay because he'd do things like spin around like a top when he would forget, or make funny noises or ad-lib funny things, and just had great reactions. And I think for most people, he was the funny one. Unfortunately, his life didn't turn out to be so funny. I mean, it turned out very, very sad because of... Yeah, a lot of reasons. Like one thing that used to happen to him, I don't know how often it happened, but kids, at the behest of their parents, would actually walk up and kick him in the shins because they thought he was invulnerable somehow. So that was a very bad side effect, and he walked around often in disguise, and he was very self-conscious about his weight and having his hair cut off. So there were definite downsides to it, and he only lived to the age of 48, so it was pretty sad with him.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, but somebody sent us this on chat and said Mo was the rock that the Stooges church was built on. People have heavy opinions about the Three Stooges. I love that. Who's on first? Who can't forget that, you know?
Yeah, well, Mo obviously was the most creative force that they had, and was the boss both off and on the screen, and you know, made sure everything got done, made sure that the movies were made, made sure that they kept working all the time. I mean, he was kind of a nervous wreck in real life. In fact, it's funny that Mo was a very rich man. Early on, he quit the act. He went into real estate, and then he came back into the act, but he never forgot the real estate, made a fortune with real estate investments. Whereas Larry was you know, a happy-go-lucky guy who just spent money all the time. But Larry was a very generous man. I mean, when Curly got sick, and Shemp replaced him, Larry, who was not the brother, he was not related to the Howard brothers, was the one who insisted that Curly still get a full share, and they divide everything up into one-fourth rather than one-third. And Mo really appreciated that. And Mo would get very mad at Larry all the time because Larry wouldn't concentrate. Larry was doing things like walking through the wrong door and ruining scenes, or late all the time, or listening to the Dodger games. And at the end of their contract at Columbia Pictures, Mo was thinking about retirement, and Larry was so broke because he blew all his money all the time, he was going to manage apartment buildings. But Mo, for his own sake, because he just needed to work all the time, and for Larry's sake, because he was totally broke, kept hustling and kept getting them work.
Now, how tough is it? You look at the Three Stooges and doing the Three Stooges. How tough do you think is that to pull this off? I mean, this is some people that know the Three Stooges. Like I mentioned, my brother grows up watching them. My nephew thinks it'll be funny and cool with all the gags and the things that they do. But do you think there'll be a lot of comparisons to the original Larry, Curly, and Mo when this movie gets reviewed?
There has to be, and you know, Sean Hayes, Will Sasso, and I have problems pronouncing Chris Diamantopoulos' name. I hope I got it right. They're actors. I mean, whereas Mo, Larry, and Curly were kind of playing extensions of themselves and keeping their own names. And you know, this is totally different because this is pure imitation of three very distinct people. So there's definitely more pressure, and you wonder if it will help their career or hurt their career. I mean, because Mo, Larry, and Curly, and later Shemp, but especially in the original three, really didn't have a problem in their lives with being typecast. I don't think they were thinking, you know, we want to expand and be in a Dr. Zhivago-like movie, even though they didn't make appearances in a lot of other movies. I think they wanted to keep their famous characters going. And this is just pure acting. So it's a different level of pressure. pressure. And no matter what they do, there's going to be some haters. It's just the way it is because there's a lot of people who think it's sacrilegious to remake this film, even though the Farrelly brothers are lovers of the Three Stooges. And I don't think we'll intentionally at least do anything to harm the Three Stooges legacy. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of pressure for the three lead actors. That's for sure.
Yeah, we're going to let everybody hear a little quick clip of that. Here we go.
What are you grubwines doing?
Getting seconds on lobster.
Seconds? Mm-hmm. I thought lobster upset your stomach.
I dipped it in Pesto Bismol.
Oh, you like dipping, eh?
You come here.
Look, it's Santa Claus. Claus.
What did I tell you about puns?
Excuse me.
What are you trying to get us thrown out of here? I'll fix you.
No, Rhoda! Where's the dignity?
You gotta love that. There's always gonna be a slap or a hammer or something there. Larry, Curly, and Mo, the three of them, were they accepted in Hollywood, Stephen?
Oh yeah, I mean they entertain. I mean they hobnob with other actors. I mean Mo was quiet and liked to have home life, whereas Larry was party, social butterfly, and Larry's friends would constantly ask him for money, and he'd always give it up. So, yeah, he was definitely accepted that way. And Shemp was kind of a very social guy, too, and was throwing parties all the time. So absolutely, they were accepted. The thing was, were they respected? That's open to question. The one thing they had with their movies was tempo, and I think like Laurel and Hardy were probably much more respected. I mean, they won an Academy Award one time, but years later, Stan Laurel used to say that he didn't like watching their movies on television because they seemed so slow to him because they were building up and it took a long time to get the laugh, and they would pause to give the audience time to laugh. Well, the Three Stooges, their idea was don't even give the audience time to think. Keep it going, and that's why the Three Stooges were resurrected when television came along. Now, unfortunately for them, in 1958, when they reached this tremendous level of stardom, they didn't get compensated for that because there were no residual rights for the three of them. But what it did give them, and by the way, the three of them kept changing. Mo and Larry were constant, but the third one was, you know, change three times. But what it did give them, it gave them the opportunity to get new stuff going, new feature movies, new live appearances. So overall, it was very good for their career, but I'm sure they were a bit wistful that they could have made money for doing all those shorts, much more money than they made at the time.
Yeah. So do you predict this weekend big time at the box office?
Boy, I hate to make predictions because I'm so much better with the past, but I think it'll do pretty well. It's getting good buzz, so it might get good word of mouth once the initial skepticism goes away. So I think maybe it might do better in the following weeks, not monetarily better, but it might have some legs, some longer staying power. But who knows? It'll be very interesting to see how it goes. I mean, there were a lot of people who probably didn't like the original Three Stooges and are certainly not waiting for a remake. So they've all got to overcome those people, and they've also got to overcome the people who don't want to see this being done by other actors. So they do have a couple of strikes against them. But if it's a good time at the movies and people start talking about it, it should be a success.
Yeah, it's about creating that buzz. Stephen Shohat, again, the author of Hollywood Stories, Pick It Up, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. Greatest storyteller, bar none, I know, from L.A. Thanks, Stephen. We appreciate it.
Oh, you got it, Kate. Thank you.
And we'll talk to Stephen again next week. Always fun. Coming out on DVD this week. In fact, you could have already picked it up, would be The Iron Lady. Do you believe it? How quickly to the movie Seg into DVD. Remember, Meryl Streep won an Oscar as Best Actress for her portrayal of Margaret Thatcher. Pretty decent movie. Check it out. We'll be back.
If you are a sales professional and you love to help people and make money, stop everything and listen to me now. InspectorAudit.com is hiring brokers nationwide. InspectorAudit.com is the primary source for exposing all loan-related bank and servicing fraud. If you're passionate, driven to succeed, and you want to earn real money, then we want you. Call InspectorAudit.com right now at 855-552-9932. InspectorAudit.com, 855-552-9932. Commissions paid daily.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
What is the most abundant resource on Earth? Water. It's essential for sustaining life, but it's not always the most available. When disaster strikes, water quickly vanishes from store shelves, like it did during 9/11, Katrina, Japan, and in Joplin. 3 days without water and your body begins to shut down. Don't risk being without an abundant supply of water when the next disaster hits. Get a FlowJack hand well pump. The affordable FlowJack drops right into almost any well and is easy to install without having to remove the existing pump, giving you immediate access to plenty of cool, clean water. You could risk your family's health on a limited supply of stored water, or you could be prepared with the reliable, affordable FlowJack backup hand pump kit for only $3.99 complete. See how it works at FlowJack.com, spelled FlowJack.com. Be sure to spell FlowJack.com or call 855-4-FLOWJACK, 855-4-FLOWJACK. That's 855-435-6525. Proudly made in America. FlowJack hand well pumps. Peace of mind in a box.
Attention, information in this one-minute message could save your life. Don't wait for the next emergency to happen. Act now to be prepared. Now, more than ever, civilians and communities must communicate with family, friends, and neighbors in the event of civil unrest, natural disasters, or other emergencies. That's why there's CivilDispatch.com. CivilDispatch.com is a universal system that can be used for a wide array of urgent notification alerts. Weather emergencies, civil unrest, emergency responders, amber alerts, school or business closings, any need-to-know situation. CivilDispatch.com is an emergency dispatch communication system, allowing anyone to quickly and easily send and instantaneously track emergency email and text alert notifications. CivilDispatch.com gives you the power of enterprise alerting without the enterprise cost. Don't find yourself unprepared. Learn more and become a member at CivilDispatch.com. That's CivilDispatch.com, civilian emergency dispatch system. Peace through preparedness.
I like to see you go right across the floor.
All right, we're heading around that final turn. Do you believe it? 1 hour almost gone here on America Tonight. What a wild and wicked Tuesday into Wednesday. Rick Santorum out saying he's going to spend more time with his family. He prayed on it, and he thanked conservatives and people in that backed him and helped him along the way. And he's done. He saw the poll numbers. They weren't good in Pennsylvania, so he's not even going to wait until the end of the month. He says that's it. He's over with. In the meantime, Newt Gingrich bounces a check for like $500. That was the amount he had to pay to be in the primary on the ballot in Utah. So, and he's got some financial problems. Does he still hang in there anyway? It doesn't matter because game on. It's absolutely about the incumbent president, Barack Obama, and whether or not Mitt Romney has enough steam, enough juice, enough intriguing things to say, or are there enough people that are so furious with Obama they'll just vote for anyone, including Mitt Romney? I said maybe his wife would be an asset. It sounds funny to say that, but maybe not, because a lot is made about the family and what kind of person he is, and his wife, turns out, is pretty good on the microphone, pretty funny, pretty interesting when she's out there working the crowds a little bit, especially when they're together. We've seen other first ladies that have been assets to their husbands, Jackie Kennedy and JFK. Michelle Obama was an asset even though lots of people didn't like Michelle Obama, plenty of people embraced Michelle Obama when she was out there on the campaign trail with Barack. So is Ann Romney and an intriguing maybe VP enough to help the people who really just don't want to go there with Mitt Romney, even if they are a lifelong Republican? I've heard some Republicans say, I can't stand Romney. I'm not going to go out there and vote for him. Somebody likes him because the establishment threw him up, and guess what? He did get the delegates, and it's about the numbers. I keep saying that same phrase, but it's true. It's about the numbers. So what do you think? Will the wife help him hedge his bets? I certainly don't think that she's going to hurt him. Hey, I'm going to throw out the numbers for your 2 cents. 855-266-KATE. Yep, we got a new number. 855-266-5283. Another big story on the day, in fact, a shocking story, I think, is the Miami Marlins manager, Ozzie Guillen, suspended for saying, and it was taken out of context, I'll give him that, that he loved Castro. And the Cubans went nuts in Miami. They went crazy in Florida. So the team decided they had to do something about it, pretty much. And this is what Ozzie Guillen said when he apologized for what has become a red-hot controversial comment. Take a listen.
Because it was misinterpreted by us, what I mean in Spanish. When he asked me in Spanish, I want to say something I was taking in Spanish. And the thing I say, I cannot believe somebody hurt so many people over the years, still alive. And I say a couple of things I cannot say right now. I expect to be here for a long time. I live in Miami. My family's in Miami. And I will do everything, and I'm willing to do everything to try to think get better. I don't blame those people to think what they think right now, because they have all the right. Because I hurt a lot of people, and I'm aware that, it's something, it's another thing, it's not in my hands. I'm here, I meant it. I not do this for fake, or for my job, or for make me look good or better. I'm here because I meant it, and we need this, especially myself. To me, it's more important how I'm going to make this thing better. The only thing I want to make better, show the Cuban community, and show Latin community how truthful I am for them, from now on. He says, now, I'm not going to sit here right now talk about this, and 2 days later, I'm going to forget about it. I'm going to show the community I'm there, and I support them 100%. You learn from mistakes. And I hope this is the biggest mistake so far in my life I made. And when you make a mistake this big, you can sleep. You constantly think about it for 4 days. If I don't learn from this, then I will call myself a dumb.
I will call myself a dumb. So you can see what he said there, if you listen to what we're saying between the lines even. Was his apology sincere? I think absolutely. I think he was blindsided by this. It came out in Time magazine. They reported that Guillen said he loves Castro and respects him for staying in power so long. But there were other things wrapped around those comments. So the Marlins released a statement on Tuesday morning. They said they acknowledged the seriousness of the comments attributed to him and the pain and suffering caused by Fidel Castro. They said can't be minimized, especially in a community filled with victims of Castro's. So he's been suspended for 5 games. He was very emotional. There's no question that he was sad that this was happening, and he was very, very sincere. And what happened was, again, how it was twisted, the words were twisted a little bit in what he said, but the bottom line is, it came out about, the Castro comment came out, and you can't put the genie back in the bottle, and in Miami, it's crazy, you cannot say anything about Fidel Castro for the reasons that the Marlins said. There are a lot of people that are living there that are victims of his regime. I was married to a man who was a Cuban-American, and his family escaped the terror of Fidel Castro, and it was very much like that with my former in-laws. even the saying his name evoked massive passion and people yelling and screaming out things of what he had done. It was sort of like a taboo. You didn't say it. So I get that. But I think it was he shouldn't have been suspended for 5 games. In the article, his remarks were misinterpreted. That's the thing. And when this was the Spanish versus English that came out, and like I said, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. Matt, you were red hot when I talked to you earlier today. I think that you were surprised by what the Marlins decided to do as well.
I think it's pretty weak that they gave in basically to the protesters and a lot of these people who don't realize exactly. I think a lot of people just hear sound bites and hear people talking about what he said and don't actually look at the context of it, where it's he was more or less kind of joking around in the way that Ozzie Guillen does with the media and saying that, you know, he respected him because the CIA, the mob, all these people are trying to kill Castro.
And they can't get him.
And they can't get him. He's been alive and in power for 60-plus years. That's what he was talking about. He wasn't saying, like, oh, he's a wonderful guy, and I respect him. He's come out in his own country where Hugo Chavez is this horrible dictator as well, buddies with Castro, and said that Chavez is a horrible person. Him and his wife have, like, campaigned against him and had done other things. And it's not an endorsement of Castro, and I just think it's people going overboard and not listening to the actual comments and not being able to take context clues, and I don't know, maybe people aren't being read to enough as kids so they can't read and figure out context clues and learn to take what is the actual factual statement and learn that it's not him saying, I love Castro.
Yeah, he didn't say that, but unfortunately, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, but this is what happens often. It's in the interpretation. I gave my example of I was right in the middle, right in the thick of that of Miami and what that was like, and
but
the sensitivity.
What, all the people from Miami that are living there that are Cuban Americans.
Yes.
What did they leave Cuba for? For freedom
to get away
of speech?
From that, yeah.
Oh,
to get away
but apparently
from that,
Ozzie can't say what he wants, what's on his mind, even though it wasn't that damning of a statement.
Well, it's because it was taken out of context. I agree.
But it's still they're basically oppressing him for having a freedom of speech. It's the whole reason they came over to this country in the first place.
Yeah, don't run for office, Matt, in Miami. You will not get elected.
I don't care.
I agree with you. I lived it. I had in-laws that were
murdered. The guy
by
Castro replaced. Not the best guy either.
No, I agree. I agree with you 100%. But we have also a different point of view because our families weren't persecuted by Fidel Castro. My ex-father-in-law had to hide in the woods. They were going to murder him. So I know the terrible things, and he was a doctor. I know the terrible things that happened to the people there, and I empathize and sympathize and heard all the stories. I get it. I think Castro is a thug, a scumbag, whatever you want to call it. You know, I used to have a list of who are the ultimate bad guys, and he was on my top five. This is just simply a case of what he said was absolutely twisted out of context, and it made it look like he said he loved Castro. But as Matt said, he did not say that he doesn't understand how this guy evades everybody who's tried to off him for so long. The problem is that's not what came out. It's not what was printed. So Miami, the Marlins, I think they screwed up this whole PR thing in the first place. They didn't even do the correct PR. So he's right in the middle of this hailstorm, and I don't know that he's going to weather it. What happens after hopefully he comes back after the 5 games and that's it, but man, I don't know, it's going to be tough. Those protesters don't have short memories, and I hope they forgive him, move on, whatever, and they can move on with the rest of the season, but it's going to be tough.
Idiot! It's simple!